In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My Lord, my God, I firmly believe that you are here, and that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. For our meditation this afternoon, I'd like to read the words of St. Mark in the Gospel of St. Mark, where it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, the Lord Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." And apparently this personal custom of the Lord, I mean, is something that he habitually did long before sunrise. Like, it was still dark, the Lord would get up and go to a quiet corner, quiet place, in order to pray, to talk to God the Father. So much so that the apostles, noticing that, observing that, one day they ask him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." I mean, they also wanted to do what their master, their friend, was doing, was praying, kind of something habitual, part of his kind of daily schedule. "Teach us how to pray. Domine, doce nos orare." Lord, teach us how to pray. And we know, of course, the answer of the Lord, but we can make our own this kind of petition of the apostles when they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." We can make those words our own, like today, every day. "Lord, teach me how to pray. Because even though I have been praying for so long, and yet I can't say that I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I often get distracted, or my mind is blank. I don't know what to say. So teach me how to pray." It's a very good, you know, kind of resolution. In a sense, prayer is everything. You know, the prelude of Opus Dei, Monsignor Fernando Ocariz, recently has been hammering the idea that we need to renew our prayer life, because talking about spiritual conversion, a renewal of our spiritual life, it boils down to a kind of a renewal of our prayer. And so therefore, prayer is the basis of conversion. "Lord, teach me how to pray." Well, first of all, when it says, the gospel says, that the Lord, long before sunrise, kind of arose and went to quiet. So there is a kind of regularity, something habitual. We can say that it's kind of his norm of the plan of life. It's part of his daily, it's not, you know, something on and off, or occasional, but something constant, something permanent. And that highlights the importance of prayer in our life. That it's not optional, you know, if we want to be, to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, we want to be holy, we want to live the life of Christ. Prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. And what is prayer? Of course, we have, you know, we are familiar with that. What is prayer? It is a personal dialogue with the Lord, personal conversation with God. In fact, you know, it is, and if you allow me to borrow the words of the prelude of Opus Dei, prayer is not an activity. Of course, we do something. I mean, we kneel down. We kind of set a time to do prayer, but fundamentally, prayer is an attitude. It is a disposition. And better still, it is a relation. It is a relationship with a person, with Christ. And so it's not just something that we do. Rather, it describes our whole being, because we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what prayer is. It is a constant disposition. It is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. And so therefore, that brings us to the idea that the Christian faith is fundamentally an encounter with God. It is an encounter with God. And in that encounter, the Lord is the first one who takes the initiative. And so we come to meet Him, an encounter with the Lord. Some weeks, so a few months ago, there was an activity here, a workshop on the 16th floor here in this building. And then there was a young man who told me, I was kind of, it caught my attention because, you know, Father, I'm a good friend of Jesus Christ. And I said, well, me too. I mean, I'm also a friend of Jesus Christ. No, I'm serious, he said. You know, I have a photo with him. And he was, you know, bringing out his iPhone. And I was curious, well, what do you mean? And so he said, look, this is Jesus Christ. And so what he meant is that the actor in The Chosen, if you've been watching The Chosen, Jonathan Ramin, Jesus Christ, is a good friend of his. And true, yes, because they are neighbors and so. And in fact, he said, Father, I appear in one of the episodes in the Beatitudes, but I'm just an extra there at the far end. A good friend of Jesus Christ. You know, but what stuck to my mind, that's what prayer life, that's what Christian life is all about. It's a friendship with Jesus. You're a friend of the Lord. And with that mindset, you know, idea, it's our prayer would acquire a new dimension, a new meaning. It's not something static or passive or dry or empty. No, it's you're talking to a person as you do, as you would talk to a friend. That's prayer. That's prayer. And of course, we need to make an effort. We need to make an effort. And that includes schedule, you know, fixing our time. Since we do have a lot of things to do, we're busy, you know. You have work, professional work, you have meetings, you have a trip. And so it's important to kind of secure that commitment to your prayer. Creating that sacred space, because there are many things that compete, you know, like, you know, that need time from you. But first, God. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's totality, you know. That's and so therefore, our prayer life is not, you know, like I'll do it if I have an extra time, you know. I'll see if I have time later on. No. It's the first thing. Everything else would revolve around our relationship with Jesus Christ. Prayer first. Prayer is everything. It's not a waste of time. It's the best use of time. We live in a time when people are, you know, measure success in terms of wealth, savings, money, and fame. Something measurable. And we, because of the digital, you know, because of the computer, advances in technology, people are used to instant result, instant gratification. Now, mind you, prayer, it doesn't fall within that category because you don't see visible results, because you cannot quantify. And yet, it is something that transforms us, something that changes our disposition. And so in the eyes of the pagan world, prayer is useless. I mean, what's that for? I'm not going to earn money from that. But we are not after wealth. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but suffer the loss of his soul? And so there's therefore the primacy of the spiritual over the material, of the soul over the flesh. And that's important. It's important to put it in our mind. Because prayer is not one more of the many things that we do during the day. Rather, it has a primacy importance. Of course, there are times when, you know, we experience some dryness or we don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. You know, there's a Latin maxim that says, non multa, sed multum. That means, you know, what is important is not the clutter of words, eloquence, the many things that you say, but rather the sincerity, the depths. In fact, your presence is enough. Also, because before we can say anything, before we can open our mouth, the Lord already knows what is in our heart. He reads our mind. He knows what is in our heart. Come to me, all of you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So then, being there and to dialogue with Him, to seek Him, Vultum Tuum Domine Requiem, Lord, I long to see your face. Prayer is a gift. So it is an encounter with a person. It's not just you. I say this because unconsciously, we might reduce our prayer into a kind of a monologue. Like, you know, thinking, what am I going to do later? You know, I send my email, I'm hungry, I'm going to meet this friend. So we're actually not praying. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. It's a dialogue. You and God. And also the importance of the ability to listen. The ability to listen to the divine inspiration, the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Because what matters most is not what we say, but what He tells us. And so, listen to Him. And the term adoration, to adore God, adorare, mouth to mouth. You talk to God, talk to God. Years ago, I was reading the biography of this Jewish-German Saint Edith Stein, who lived in the 1920s or 30s. Well, she was a convert from Judaism to Christianity. I think she became Catholic in 1922 or 1921. But because she was a Jew and working as a professor in Germany, philologist, and she was one of those who was a kind of suffered a persecution. I mean, she lost her professorship, and but eventually she was captured, arrested by the Nazis, and sent to Auschwitz. And but then, the anecdote that I want to say is that sometime before her conversion, she entered a cathedral, or I don't know, in Munich, or if I recall right, and then it was a weekday, and there was nobody in the church, except there was an old woman who apparently, she said, came from the market with her basket, like that, you know, groceries. But what caught her attention is that this old lady was on her knees in the front pew and talking, like she could see from, you know, from where she was, from a distance. This old woman was mumbling phrase, talking to the tabernacle. And Edith was saying that, you know, that simple thing left a profound impact, because as a pious Jew, ever since, you know, I was going to the synagogue, what we had was a formal, you know, sermon of the rabbi studying Torah. But here in the Christian temple, I see a person talking to a personal God, talking to a personal God. So it kind of, and so that brings us to the idea that really prayer is a dialogue. So sometimes we think that Christianity, or, you know, our vocational religion is a series of norms, a series of rules. No, it's a friendship, it's a dialogue, an encounter with Christ. And so, and therefore, like any friendship, you know, it's meant to grow, cultivate that friendship, dealing with Him. And as a matter of fact, even though, yes, we kind of devote some time to prayer, but the whole day through becomes a prayer. Time comes, St. Jose Maria said, when we can no longer distinguish where prayer ends and work begins, or work ends and prayer begins. Because between the two, there's a kind of compenetration or fusion in a unity of life, unity of life. So that even though you may be typing in a computer or meeting a client, giving a lecture, you're on a trip, you're in the airport, somehow you never lose that presence of God. Somehow you're always praying, immersed in the world, but at the same time connected with God. That's an attitude of prayer. Now, you know, we live at a time when, in a sense, there's a crisis of interiority, a crisis of interior life. Again, partly because we live in a fast-paced world. There's a frenzy to succeed in life, competition, stiff competition. And so, and that means time, dedication. Of course, that's important. But in the process, people, surfing the internet, reading the news, what's the latest, you know. And so they know the world. We tend to know the world quite a lot. But how much do we know the inner world, so deep within? And so that needs time. Reflection, prayer, and we get to know ourselves in prayer, in our conversation with God. A person who doesn't pray or rather pays lip service to prayer life tends to be shallow. A shallow person is staying on the surface of things. But people with profound interior life, likewise, they have profound perspective in life. They think deep. They have clear ideas. And so, this famous author, Jacques Philippe, who has written wonderful books, he was saying, we might wonder how come we have been praying for so long and yet we don't seem to make progress. Or we don't seem to see the fruits of our prayer. Now, he said something very interesting. It could be because, he said, not because we don't know how to pray, that we are not doing our prayer, or that we are in the chapel, we prepare ourselves, we get the right material. But he said, what about the time that are outside of prayer? The things that we do outside of prayer. If there's attachment, if there is the wrong kind of friendship, if we have certain habits, hobbies, and that kind of do not square with our Christian identity, with our vocation, then no matter what you do, you will not be able to pray because the soul lacks the necessary precondition. So that brings us to the idea that whoever prays, anybody who prays, he wants to improve. He wants to be better. I mean, nobody would pray without the earnest desire to be transformed into Christ. And St. John of the Cross, this famous mystic of the 16th century, says, whoever seeks God while holding on to his caprice may seek him day and night, will never find him. Whoever seeks the Lord while holding on to his caprice will seek him day and night, will never find him. It jives with the idea of Jacques Philippe that, prayer requires a certain kind of prerequisites. That in our life, our life in a unity of life, there's nothing that, that doesn't square, that doesn't jive, or that contradicts our faith. And so it's good to examine ourselves. Is there anything, Lord, in my life that prevents me from, kind of going deep in my intimacy, my interior life? Could that be certain attachment or whatever? No, so, I mean, and that kind of very, very important. Now, of course, also the practical side of prayer, that means that I said not to protect, to safeguard those hours of prayer. Of course, we are flexible. We're not kind of rigid. On occasions, we may have to pray while you're in the bus, I don't know, where you're driving because there's no other time, because life is complex. On occasions, but not every day. The usual thing is that you pray in a quiet, conducive place, like, you know, the chapel, the oratory. And I recall years ago, I was working as a chaplain of a school, well, similar to the Heights there in the Philippines. And the little boys, third grade or fourth grade, I think, well, different year levels. The school, not very big, there were some 400 students, and they had a kind of a program to encourage reading, to promote reading, literature, whatever, reading. And so they call it DEAR. So at a given time during the day, the boys would be playing football or soccer, basketball, or in the cafe, or, you know, doing anything. Then they hear the buzzer. There's a kind of a sound that could be heard all over the school. What they're supposed to do, they go to their, you know, respective, you know, reading room, and they get a book and read for, you know, like 15 or 20 minutes. So drop everything and read. Drop everything and read. And I thought, so why does it have to be like that? But anyway, it's effective. You know? Drop everything and read. Well, I thought of that because, in a matter of speaking, to give that kind of importance, the buzzer, it's time to pray. I still have to, you know, do this. You know? Well, drop everything and pray, something like that. Well, sounds corny, but, you know, drop everything. And, you know, because, think of it, it is an appointment with God. If you have an appointment with a friend or a person, or I don't know, like, you don't want, you know, you won't just, you know, disappear or, you know, fail to appear and, without informing. This is an appointment with God. And so that, you know, giving importance to our prayer. Importance to our prayer. The Prelate of Opus Dei, Monsignor Ocariz, he talks about what he calls external consistency. While the desire to be with God, presence of God is there, but at the same time, it has to be actualized. We have to put it into practice, concrete. External consistency. And that shows, because our actions, it manifests our disposition. So if there is a kind of regularity, constancy in our prayer, in our schedule, then it means that we are giving importance to our prayer. Of course, there are no kind of fixed rules of how to pray exactly. There are as many kinds of prayer as there are many people who pray. That means countless. Why? Because we can't straitjacket. You know, there are certain parameters, but at the end of the day, it's really you and God, the intimacy of His heart. And as a matter of fact, the opening prayer is beautiful. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me and that you hear me. I adore you profound reverence. So it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. It's putting oneself in God's presence. And so that somehow we are able to focus, to talk to Him. Of course, we make an effort to kind of somehow disconnect from our concerns. And after some time, you develop the ability to, you know, shift from at one moment you're praying, the next time, next moment you are playing sports, perhaps, or you are driving, and then later on you pause again, got the rosary, and so there's a kind of a rhythm throughout the day, spread out throughout the day, so that there's what you call the norms and the plan of life. And prayer then becomes a lifestyle, it's something constant. because we don't see the Lord with the naked eyes, but we see Him with the eyes of faith. And so it is important to kind of seek Him. He is the hidden God, Deus absconditus, the hidden God. But through the eyes of faith, a man of faith, a woman of faith would see God anywhere and anytime. Even amidst contradictions, God is there. God is there. One thing is the presence of the Lord that is objective. I mean, for as long as we are in the grace of God, you know, the Lord dwells, the Blessed Trinity dwells in our heart. And so it has an objective basis. But that's objective presence. A different thing would be the subjective presence. That means, you know, the awareness to think, the disposition to live in God's presence. And that requires an effort. That requires an effort. Saying an aspiration, short prayer, somehow with the use of, you know, like a human little device, a crucifix, rosary, ring, or scapular, whatever, you know. And a friend of mine, you know, even, you know, whenever he receives a text message, like, I don't know, before he reads it, you know, he says one short prayer for the person, whoever sends the message. I mean, you can have your own style. But the important thing is that attitude of, you know, seeking Christ, being Christ. Never get tired of dealing with the Lord. We need Christ. And life has meaning only, you know, if it is centered on Christ. It's a Christocentric life. Not me, not mine, not egocentric. But to change the orientation, Christ-centered. And from the Lord, it goes to the rest of the people. And Saint Jose Maria kind of advised us to have a kind of an eternal perspective of things, viendo las cosas con los ojos de eternidad, isn't it? Seeing things with a perspective of eternity only. And you know, it has an impact on the way, you know, when we make decisions, choices like that. Living the virtues, consecration, prayer. Prayer is everything. And when we encounter temptations, we're able to think. And we have the grace of God. Or when we encounter difficulties, God is there. So, you know, it kind of keeps us moving. And despite the challenges, we don't give up. Fortitude, and also doing our duties, sense of fairness and justice, respect for other people, temperance, self-control, our impulses, our passions, our emotions, appetites, base desires. It goes to prayer, pray the Lord. And one thing perhaps that Saint Jose Maria as well taught us about it, the importance of having recourse to the holy humanity of Christ. The Lord is perfect God and perfect man, and so therefore, He is our access to God the Father. And His holy humanity. Think that the Lord, like us, is a man, and so He suffered, He experienced fatigue, tiredness, thirst, hunger, and all these things, and even, you know, contradictions. He was not spared of that. And so, making use of our pious imagination, that the Lord, Jesus, is not a stranger to what's going on in my life. He cares about me. He knows what's going on. And He has experienced this. And so therefore, well, it kind of, the holy humanity of the Lord would help us to deal with the Lord on a personal basis. You know? And so, what kind of developed that disposition, the habit, you know, going to the Lord, not just whenever we need Him. I recall when I was a chaplain of a center there in Manila, and the center was beside a university where the was the venue for the bar exam. I mean, lawyers, aspiring lawyers. Okay, and so thousands of them. So, and there's a nearby church, which I noticed, like, you know, weeks or days before the exam, it's full of, you know, lawyers. So, praying to God that they would make it to the exam. And I celebrated Mass for them. No? Told them, many are called, but few are chosen. Just And now, one of the things I recall, this was years ago, that I told them in a homily, you know, we tend to treat the Lord like a spare tire. Why? What a spare tire? Because a spare tire is one of those things that you hardly visit until you need it. Like, so we cannot treat the Lord like that. That then we go to the Lord, we pray when we are badly in need of something. I go to the Lord. No, we need Him all the time. Is that a spare tire? So we need Him all the time. And so, Saint Jose Maria in 1933, he gave a little book to an architect student in Spain. And on the first page, he wrote, may you seek Christ, may you find Christ, may you love Christ. Que busques a Cristo, que encuentres a Cristo, que ames a Cristo. It's a beautiful, I know, summary of what prayer is. Seeking Christ, finding Christ, loving Christ. We conclude this meditation turning to our Blessed Mother. You know, she's a perfect model of prayer. In the Gospels, we read that she would always ponder the things of God in her heart. And Our Lady, tradition tells us, when the Archangel Gabriel came to announce her divine maternity, she was deeply immersed in prayer. So, dear Mother, teach me how to pray. And tell the Lord, Lord, teach me how to pray. Domine, doce nos. Orare. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.